chapter 3 stature, temperament, disposition and mental ability because, when the cart gets in front of the horse instead of in its proper position, wrong conclusions inevitably follow. Right here is the place to point out the real relation between character and the birth chart, and to indicate that the assumption, so often expressed, that two people with practically identical birth charts must be identical in form, in the details of their character, and in the experiences of their lives, is incorrect. Quite a number of dog fanciers, of late years, have been using astrology in their efforts to breed, and to pick from various litters, pups, which would win prizes in the shows. Others have experimented with considerable success, in selecting colts to be trained into race horses. And yet more extensive mention might be cited in this domain of animal husbandry, were such required, in which the birth charts of various kinds of creatures have been recorded and the subsequent experiences of their lives compared with these birth charts. The unanimous conclusion of those who have thus experimented with non-human birth charts is that, due allowance being made for plane of expression, similar positions in a birth chart give similar qualities and experiences. Dogs often are born in the same town and at the same instant that a child is born. Yet no one would be so foolish as to expect such dogs to exhibit human intelligence or to have human experiences. Yet a dog, as has been noted in kennel magazines, with a planetary positions and aspects in its birth chart which, if it were human would lead it, to honor and public acclaim, is one to be counted on, to take prizes in the show, and get its portrait in the papers. A bushman, either of the Australian or the African bush, might have, and some probably do have, birth charts to all intents and purposes the same, as those of our aldermen and utility magnates. Yet it is not to be expected that these bushmen will run street railways, or be given tips on the market by those who do. They will merely occupy positions of importance in the environment where they function, which in some measure parallel those of their Caucasian birth chart types. Practical experience with birth charts, even of those who have had a similar environment, is convincing that it is much easier to determine the type of ability possessed by an individual than it is to determine how far he will go in the development and expression of the qualities thus so clearly indicated. And, unless we get the cart before the horse, it is easy to see why this should be so, as the zodiacal signs and planets can merely map the inner relations which express as character, but have no power to indicate the plane or level occupied. Bring any astrologer the birth chart of a dog, a horse, a bushman or a cockroach, and ask him to delineate it. From the chart alone he will be enabled to determine what species of creature it represents, enabled to specify the evolutionary level. It is only when he is informed of this that he can give a delineation of the qualities and the probable events of the life. This rule may be relied upon, that the creature is not born until the positions of the signs and planets in their relations one to another rather closely map the relation of the important factors within its astral body. These factors, however, express on an infinite variety of evolutionary levels. To be still more specific, the finer body of any creature, man included, is composed of astral substance organized by its experiences into thought elements. These thought elements, or urges as they are called, in turn combine to form psychoplasm, even as chemical elements combine to produce protoplasm. The physical body is composed of protoplasm and its secretions, the astral body is composed of psychoplasm. As protoplasm is organized into the physical cells of the physical body, so psychoplasm is organized by the experiences of the individual into the stellar cells, which compose the astral body. Furthermore, physical cells are brought into cooperation as the bony structure, the nervous structure and the muscular structure of the physical body, and stellar cells enter into colonial life within the astral form, as its various stellar structures. These stellar cells and stellar structures, of which the astral body is composed at the time of birth into human form, have all been organized and built by the experiences of the soul in form still lower than the human. The soul attracts to itself progressively those forms which afford it the experiences it needs to develop the qualities for which it was called into differentiated existence. It has a definite mission to perform in the cosmic scheme, which these qualifications fit it for, and which it can accomplish better than any other. Its evolutionary progress from one form to another, each form giving new experiences, which are retained in its astral body, is to enable it to develop the ability to do this work. The positions of the planets at the time of its birth into human form, therefore, do not determine either its character or the experiences it will have. They merely map the relation of the various factors within the astral body. They map those well-organized groups of stellar cells which have unusual energy, and which therefore are called dynamic stellar structures. It is the thought organization, the organization of experiences preceding human birth, which determines the positions the signs and planets have at birth, and which likewise shows the possibilities of the character. The degree of activity of the thought cells mapped by the planets indicates the natural aptitudes and the dominant trends. The more active a group of thought cells is, the more power they have to influence the thoughts and behavior, and to attract events characteristic of them into the life. These stellar cells have been given desires by the experiences which organized them, and they work with such energy as they possess or acquire to bring into the life the events thus desired. They work from the inner plane, exercising psychokinetic power to influence physical events. Or to state it more technically, through the law of affinity they influence every event that enters the life. But neither the degree of activity nor the desires of the thought cells mapped by a given planet is fixed. Every experience and thought of its type adds energy to the thought cell group, and influences the specific trends of its desires. At birth these desires are harmonious or discordant as indicated by the aspects of the planets, and they seek expression through the departments of life indicated by the houses the planet rules. But through which of the departments of life ruled by the planet its stellar cell energy chiefly will express, and through what specific events characteristic of the planet, is largely determined by the conditioning influence of the environment. Furthermore, both the conditioning offered by environment and the deliberate effort of the individual can influence the thought cells to desire much more disastrous or much more fortunate expression than they have at birth and as therefore mapped by the birth chart. But aside from conditioning by environment after birth, it will thus be seen that the power of the birth chart to reveal the particulars of character and destiny is limited by the evolutionary level of the one whose astral body is mapped by the chart. The astral body, when manifesting on the physical plane, must use such materials as are at hand. If the child is born into a Mongolian family, no kind of a birth chart will give it Caucasian skin and hair. These things must be considered not merely in judging the stature, but also in determining mental qualifications. A very small Scandinavian may be taller than a very large Japanese, and even though for his race, due to Saturn rising, he may be very dark, yet he still may be lighter in color than a native of Italy who, having the sun rising, is light for his race. Here in the United States, where all is a melting pot, racial traits and evolutionary levels assume a special importance. Jews, for instance, seem to take to business and the stage rather than to mining and agriculture. I believe the extension of examples is unnecessary. What is necessary, however, in all astrological judgment is to realize that the chart is merely a two-dimensional outline map of the important factors in the high-velocity astral body, and that such a map does not indicate the race, or even the stratum within the race, to which its owner belongs. The evolutionary level and the race must be ascertained as a part of the necessary data, upon which sound judgment rests. The four factors, which indicate stature and appearance, bearing in mind that the physical body is a replica of the astral body, insofar as it can express through the physical materials afforded, it seems quite certain that every position in the chart has some influence over the size and appearance of the physique. Yet four of these astrological factors have more influence in this than others. 1. Chief among such influences is the sign on the cusp of the ascendant, and any planet that occupies the first house. And in thus considering the influence of planets in the first house, give precedence, as a rule, to the one nearest the cusp of the ascendant. Note also any planet within 15.1 degrees above the ascendant, considering it to be in conjunction with, and to influence, the ascendant. As a rule, it will be found that a planet near the ascendant will impress its description even more strongly than the sign on the ascendant, although in all cases the influence of both sign and planets should be combined. When there are several planets in the first house, the planet nearest the cusp of the ascendant will mark the appearance more certainly. But usually the body is smaller and more compact, and the more numerous the planets in this house, the smaller and more compact the body. Such a person is decidedly energetic and ambitious, but small in stature. Except for such birth charts as are pictured in the lessons, the reader is referred to the Book of Notable Nativities for examples. King Edward there is shown to have Sagittarius 27 on the esk and Jupiter in Sagittarius 21, with both Saturn and Mars in the first house and the intercepted sign Capricorn. Because Jupiter is in its own sign and nearer the cusp of the esk, even though in the 12th house, his description was that of Jupiter in Sagittarius. In the chart of Abraham Lincoln we also have Sagittarius rising, but giving a different form. Neptune, a planet tending to size, is a little closer to the esk than Saturn. Yet both planets are in conjunction with the esk, and the combined influence of Saturn and Sagittarius outweighs the tendency to weight of Neptune and that of Jupiter being in a stout sign. Also, Saturn strongly marked the complexion and expression, for he was dark, raw bone at 6 feet 4 in height. 2. Next in importance to the rising sign and planets in the first house, as an index to personal appearance, is the sign, in which the planet ruling the sign on the cusp of the ascendant is found. If there is a planet in the first house, it is chief ruler of the personality, any one of the planets that occupy the first house having more influence over the personality than the planet merely ruling the cusp of the ascendant. But in all cases the planet ruling the cusp of the ascendant is a co-ruler of the personality, and when there is no planet in the first house, or within 151 degrees above the ascendant, it becomes the chief ruler of the personality. It is found when this planet having an influence over the personality is in a long sign too, it tends to heighten the stature, and when it is in a short sign it tends to shorten the stature, below what would be expected from the rising sign alone. This sign in which the ruler of the ascendant is found, however, is not of equal importance with the rising sign, as an index to the appearance. It is to be considered a secondary, modifying influence. Thus in the chart of Napoleon I, the Aquarius decanate of Libra is rising. Libra is a tall sign, although the middle decanate is not so tall as the other two. As no planets are in the first house, Venus becomes the chief ruler of the personal appearance. And Venus is found in the first decanate of Cancer. Cancer is not a tall sign, but tends to plumpness. Napoleon was notably short and inclined to be rotund. 3. As a third influence, of much less importance, where personal appearance is concerned, the sun sign may be noted. Its influence over the size and structure of the body seems mostly to be strongly in evidence in those whose body changes markedly in weight and general contour at different ages of life. It is not uncommon, for instance, for a plump child to grow tall and thin at maturity, nor for a thin child to take on weight in his prime. Also, persons that are slight or heavy at maturity sometimes assume opposite appearance with age. Where these conditions exist, it usually will be found that the form at one period of life tends toward the rising sign and planet, and at the other, and usually shorter period, tends toward the contour to be expected from the sun sign. 4. Still a fourth factor should here be considered, even though it has little significance, as regards size and weight of the body. The dominant planet usually stamps its impress upon the countenance. This planet may, or may not, be the one ruling the rising sign. It is simply the one, all things considered, such as house position, sign and aspects, that has the most influence over the life. Sometimes two or more planets will be found so influential in a chart that it is difficult to determine the energy of which is most freely transmitted by the individual, even as in some people it may be difficult to say which of two or more races predominate in the blood. But usually some one planet in the figure stands out prominently, either by its elevation, its angular position, or by the many powerful aspects it makes, those to Sun, Moon and Mercury in this respect being especially important. In the chart of Lincoln, such difficulty of determination exists, as both Saturn and Neptune are conjunction the USC, and Jupiter, close to an angle, in its co-rulership, is sextile the Moon and ruler of the USC. Even his life fails to clear the matter up entirely, as he so strongly exhibited the system of Saturn, the benevolence of Jupiter and the idealism of Neptune. Yet as Neptune is closest to the USC, and aspects both Moon and Mercury, it is probably the dominant planet. In the chart of Napoleon L, the Sun, Mercury and Saturn are in the 10th, but Saturn is closest to its cusp, is the most elevated planet, and is closely in opposition to the Moon. Saturn is the dominant planet. While his achievements were chiefly military, they were prompted by the urging of Saturn ambition. This planet did not influence his height, but it strongly impressed his features, as seen in his famous pose of deep meditation with downcast eyes. Of Kaiser Wilhelm II, with World War notoriety, the chart shows Cancer rising with no planet in the first house. The Moon, chief ruler of the personality, is in Scorpio. Therefore we expect to see a body of the Cancer type somewhat modified along Scorpio lines. But a glance reveals that he is not one who is dominated by the Moon. He fairly bristles with Mars' arrogance and aggressive defiance. Both Neptune and Mars are in the 10th, Neptune being in its own sign and closer to the MC than Mars. Mars, however, is almost exactly trine to the Moon, ruler of his personality. And this ruler of the personality is in the Mars sign Scorpio. His astral body, through the stellar aerial spanning it, picks up and transmits more of the planetary energy of Mars than any other, and therefore Mars is his dominant planet. The four factors, which indicate temperament and disposition for many reasons, and particularly in the selection of a vocation and of close associates, it is unusually important to judge correctly the temperament and disposition. They are determined from these four factors. 1. The dominant planet of the chart, selected as previously indicated, is the most important factor. As the most influential planet in the chart, more of its particular quality of energy flows through the stellar structure of the astral form than any other. Thus the temperament and disposition manifest this type of energy conspicuously. 2. Second in importance is the personality, indicated by the rising sign and decanate, and any planet in the first house, a planet in the first house or within 15 degrees above it being more influential than the rising decanate and sign. Aspects to the planet, which is thus shown to be the chief ruler of the personality, and aspects to the ascending degree, indicate temperamental traits. 3. Third in importance is the mentality, as shown by the sign and decanate occupied by the moon. Aspects to the moon show mental traits. 4. Fourth in importance, so far as temperament and disposition are concerned, is the individuality, as shown by the sign and decanate occupied by the sun. Aspects to the sun indicate deep-seated traits of character. By way of illustration, let us briefly apply these four factors to determine the temperament and disposition of Napoleon. Already we have decided that Saturn is the dominant planet in his chart. He therefore was a lover of efficiency, economy and organization. His best quality was system and his worst quality selfishness. The strongest aspect to Saturn is the opposition of the moon, a separative aspect showing ambition Saturn in 10th and domestic tendencies moon in 4th and deadly conflict. The Aquarius decanate of Libra is rising. It is the decanate of independence, pictured by the dragon, and its natives usually find expression in conflict. They have originality and tend to become leaders of some progressive movement. Venus, chief ruler of the personality, receives good aspects from Uranus, Neptune and Mars. This gives magnetic power, vision, and energy. Best qualities, affability and altruism. Worst qualities, approbation and argumentation. The mentality is polarized in the Virgo decanate of Capricorn, pictured by the southern fish, symbolizing guidance from the spirit side of life. It is the decanate of idealism. Best qualities, diplomacy and analysis. Worst qualities, deceitfulness and criticism. The moon's opposition to Saturn tends to bring the selfish quality of Saturn into prominence. The individuality is polarized in the Aries decanate of Leo, pictured by the crow, symbolizing emotions associated with creative energy and giving a decided love of power. It is the decanate of ambition. Best qualities, kindness and leadership. Worst qualities, domination and officiousness. As Saturn is the dominant planet and in the house of honor, his other qualities, both good and bad, became the means by which self-aggrandizement might be attained. The four factors which indicate character. Character embraces those deep-seated traits which most resist change. And these are indicated by the same four factors that indicate temperament and disposition, but the order of their importance is different. 1. Because the dominant planet maps the dynamic stellar structure through which the most energy flows, it must be considered as a first importance in determining character, even as in determining temperament. 2. But as mapping the most deep-seated and permanent of all the thought elements comprised within the astral body, the sun sign is next in importance in determining character. 3. Third in importance is indicating the type of impressions most readily received, and therefore as determining mental capacity, must be considered the sign occupied by the moon. 4. And finally, as least important of all as regards the real character, but of so much importance in mere personality, are to be considered the rising sign and rising planet. The five factors which indicate mental ability. To the same four factors used to determine both character and temperament must be added a fifth to determine the mental ability. The sun sign signifies the individuality, the moon sign the mentality, the rising sign and rising planet the personality, and the dominant planet the planetary family, to which the ego belongs. but the method by which the thoughts, so indicated, are expressed, is largely determined by the planet Mercury. The dynamic stellar structure mapped by the Moon is the most open avenue by which impressions and information find access from the outside world to the astral body. The Moon sign thus indicates the type of experience most easily received and most readily assimilated by the unconscious mind. The general trend of mental activity is thus shown by the Moon. But the method and facility with which such thoughts, and those arising from the character and personality, express is markedly determined by the sign occupied, and the aspects made, by Mercury. And it should be noted that every aspect to the Moon and Mercury, either harmonious or discordant, increases mental capacity and mental ability. Every planet aspecting the Moon shows unconscious trains of thought concerning the things denoted in the chart by the planet. Every aspect to Mercury increases facility for expressing the qualities indicated by the planet making the aspect. If the aspect is harmonious, the thoughts, unconscious or expressed, are pleasant, but if discordant, they have disagreeable associations. Of course, if the discordant aspects are too strong and too many, and the rest of the chart not strong, the mind breaks under the excessive strain. But for mental activity, the Moon and Mercury should have strong aspects. And best of all for mental expression are those between Mercury and the Moon, for then the unconscious mind, indicated by the Moon, has a stellar aerial reaching across the astral body, by which it finds immediate access to the trains of thought passing through the objective mind. There is a wide open avenue, through which may readily be expressed whatever has been recognized within. As I have given, in lesson number 89, a table showing the personal appearance denoted by each sign and planet, it need not be repeated here. In lesson number 46, I have also given a brief analysis of the 12 signs of the zodiac, there stating the dominant idea of each as a phrase of two words which, when memorized, serves admirably as a key to the whole influence of the sign. And in lesson number 47, I have in a similar manner briefly analyzed the 10 planets, giving a single key word to each wish, when memorized, instantly calls to mind the associated qualities. But of far more importance than merely knowing the usual influence of any sign or planet is to know its worst tendency and its best quality, and how the former may be transmuted into the latter. There are no bad planets and no bad signs. The qualities of each are equally important in world economy. All are necessary to form an organic functioning whole. The problem is, of course, to divert these characteristic qualities from their destructive trends into those which will most benefit both the individual and society. Any planet or sign in a birth chart, if it is unusually prominent, can be turned into an asset by the expression of its best qualities to such a degree that its energies are thus completely utilized, and none are left for the manifestation of its less attractive trends. The energy must express, and it will express in terms suitable to its own nature. But it takes only a minimum of effort to turn it from one channel to the other of its own natural flow. And to indicate these natural channels of expression, to the end that destructive currents may most readily be diverted into those constructive, in the following pages I shall treat both signs and planets from this point of view. To facilitate remembering the worst quality, which so readily may be converted into the best quality, I shall employ keywords. If it were not for complicating a matter, which is best left simple, a keyword could be employed for each of the 36 decanates. A better plan, and one quite as accurate, is to join the keyword of the sign and the keyword of the sign having sub-rulership of the decanate, this sub-sign keyword being used as a secondary factor. Thus, if the best qualities of the third decanate of Aries are to be found, it is necessary to remember only that the best quality of Aries is leadership, and that the best quality of Sagittarius for this is the Sagittarius decanate-dash is loyalty. Therefore, leadership and loyalty are the best qualities of the last decanate of Aries. Aries, the Aries person to be at his best requires the zest of competition. He feels the need of combat in some form, and ever strives for personal leadership. He is extremely optimistic, and this often leads him into undertakings that are too large for him to handle. In fact, one of the things he should avoid is having too many irons in the fire at one time. His enthusiasm often leads him to rush into controversy before he has had time to examine the justice of the matter. And once he has taken up arms in behalf of a cause, he is very difficult to dissuade. He is bright and lively, is a good mixer, likes politics, and may attain brilliancy in conversation. He is apt to be rash in love, and to overwork in business. His best quality is leadership. His worst quality is officiousness. His desire for leadership causes him to interfere in the affairs of others when he should not. He should learn, therefore, instead of diffusing his energy, to concentrate his powers of leadership to the chosen field of his endeavor. Thoughts ruled by this sign belong to the egotistical series. Taurus, the Taurus person is steadfast in mind and in habits. He follows a certain routine in the performance of his tasks, and very much dislikes to change his methods in any way. He is thorough in all he undertakes, given to perfecting the small details, and cannot be hurried, pushed or frightened out of his rather deliberate pace. He is obedient to his employer, and very persistent in all that he undertakes. He has not the initiative for new undertakings, nor the courage to take great risk. Rather is he conservative both in thought and action. He is quite reliable and efficient in taking care of other people's possessions, at banking, at agriculture, and also at accountancy. His best quality is stability. His worst quality is obstinacy. Early in life, therefore, he should form the habit of being steadfast toward truth and justice. For when this attitude becomes entrenched, it then will not be difficult for him to give way in smaller things, that he may maintain his original purpose. Thoughts ruled by this sign belong to the possessive series. Gemini, the Gemini person has a very active brain, and is at his best when his intellect has full scope for work. He is restless, and must constantly express himself in some way. Often he becomes a voluble talker, and may talk so much about unimportant details, that important information is suppressed. He can do any number of things well, having great dexterity. His best quality is versatility. His worst quality is changeableness. He not only changes his point of view, but can follow so many occupations without difficulty, that he frequently does not stick to one long enough to make a marked success of it. He can do so many things well, he will not endure disagreeable things in one occupation, because he can always get work to do in another. He therefore should realize that any one task can be made worthy of all his ingenuity and talent, and that instead of changing occupations he should change his methods in the one he has chosen. Thoughts ruled by this sign belong to the thought series. Cancer, the Cancer person is exceptionally emotional, and above all else craves sympathy. Due to his extreme sensitiveness and mediumistic tendencies, environment is most important in his life. He tends to absorb all the conditions he contacts. He therefore should choose his associates with much discretion. His best quality is tenacity. His worst quality is tachyness. He becomes greatly upset on hearing unpleasant news, or when he fancies he has been slighted. The fear of ridicule is torture to him, and prevents him from asserting himself to advantage. But when he has a friend or an idea or a purpose to cling to, he does so with utmost patience and persistence. He should, therefore, Absorb the idea that people in general are sympathetic and friendly, and that those who are otherwise are not worth bothering about. With this thought, a part of himself he no longer will refuse to accept, when they are presented, the very opportunities he most desires. Thoughts ruled by this sign belong to the feeling series. Leo. The Leo person has great faith and trust in other people. And other people usually respond to this faith by endeavoring to live up to his expectations. He does not demand of subordinates that which is impossible of fulfillment. He is a good entertainer. His best quality is kindness. His worst quality is domination. He has a great thirst for personal glory and craves a position of authority. He is much better at deputizing work than at taking orders from others. And sometimes he feels he should have a position of importance, when in reality he is quite incapable of efficiently filling it. He should, therefore, early realize that kindness may often best be expressed through work rather than through issuing orders, and that the highest glory obtains to him who serves best. Thoughts ruled by the sign belong to the will series. Virgo. The Virgo person loves to deal with facts rather than with theories. He inclines to statistics, and often is a walking encyclopedia of information. He takes orders readily and uses ingenuity and originality in executing them. Hence he becomes a clever accountant and a good public servant. His best quality is analysis. His worst quality is criticism. His powers of discrimination and his practicality instantly discern the flaws of other people and their plans. His assimilative functions also are sensitive, so he should use care in the selection of his food, and this sometimes leads him to be over fastidious and fussy. He becomes exceptionally valuable to executives who do planning, for he can dissect a proposition of any kind and find all its weaknesses, and determine how these can be strengthened. But to be at his best, he should early realize that it takes just as keen discrimination to find good points in people and in things as to find those objectionable, and that this is even more profitable information when applied. Thoughts ruled by this sign belong to the analytical series. Libra. The Libra person is a lover of perfection. He is courteous and kind, and greatly craves understanding and companionship. As a rule, he should not live an isolated life, but follow his social inclinations. His best quality is affability. His worst quality is love of approbation. He has a great dislike for injustice, and a revulsion at getting his hands or clothing soiled. Consequently, he should never follow an occupation which will interfere with such fastidiousness. His natural tendency is to dabble in many things, and thus develop in true proportion. But unfortunately for him, the world pays for high efficiency in some single direction, hence he should specialize. He should choose some occupation where he meets people personally. He is a lover of harmony, and so dislikes to hurt another's feelings, that he can seldom say no. He should early realize that he will be better liked by others in the long run, if he has the character to render firm decisions, and to be uninfluenced by flattery. Thoughts ruled by this sign belong to the Equilibrium series. Scorpio. The Scorpio person is very intense in his likes and dislikes, and whatever he finds to do, he does with his whole might. He possesses a natural healing magnetism, and is never at a loss for plans by which difficulties may be overcome. His best quality is resourcefulness. His worst quality is troublesomeness. He believes in duty, and often takes special pains to see that others fulfill all their obligations to society. He should early realize that his advantage is in concentrating his energies on the solution of his own problems, and in overcoming the obstacles to his success, rather than in insisting upon the proper conduct of others. He should also learn that his success at times depends upon his willingness to take second place, and that asking questions is not a serious acknowledgement of inferiority. Unlike Libra, he can be trusted to grapple with the most difficult and disagreeable tasks. Thoughts ruled by this sign belong to the Desire series. Sagittarius. The Sagittarius person can both give and take orders. He is naturally an executive, and in both thinking and deed goes straight to the mark, caring more for effectiveness than for elegance. He is buoyant and cheerful, and should follow an occupation where there is plenty of opportunity for mental activity. At the same time, he also requires fresh air and exercise. Recreation is very important to him, as he tends to burn up his vitality through over-intensity. His best quality is loyalty. His worst quality is sportiveness. He is philosophically inclined, and unless given opportunity for open-air recreation, is apt to develop morbid self-examination. He is frank and outspoken in his opinions, and invariably is caught if he attempts deceit or dishonesty. He lives at his best when he has found a work in life so interesting to him that it becomes a game in which success is the hazard. Thoughts ruled by this sign belong to the Comprehension series. Capricorn. The Capricorn person is methodical and highly ambitious. He is inclined to convention, and thinks much of worldly success, money, and station. He has a faculty for bringing together dissenting factions, for synthesis and economy. He is at his best when given responsibility, and can shoulder it successfully. His best quality is diplomacy. His worst quality is deceitfulness. He willingly bends the knee to those above him in rank or ability, and at the same time delights in receiving homage from those under him. He is a good manager, too much inclined to carry other people's troubles and make their responsibilities his own. But in his management he ever keeps in mind his own advantage. He should early realize that the greatest advantage any person can have is integrity of character and devotion to the welfare of others. Thoughts ruled by this sign belong to the Utility series. Aquarius. The Aquarius person understands human nature better than those born under any other sign. He knows just what to say and just what to do to produce a given effect upon those with whom he is associated. He is a master psychologist. He is very progressive, is interested in the latest developments of science and invention, and finds it easier to learn through hearing others talk than through the study of books. He is greatly concerned regarding politics and religion, and tends to view things from the standpoint of the welfare of society at large. His best quality is altruism. His worst quality is argumentation. He frequently will take the opposite side of a question merely for the sake of discussion. And his enthusiasm is apt to be too greatly expended in theoretically solving the difficulties of mankind rather than in efficient action. He should learn that wisdom must be accompanied by practical application, if it is to accomplish anything worthwhile. Thoughts ruled by this sign belong to the Knowledge series. Pisces. The Pisces person is inclined to be plastic, and thus much influenced by environment. He should be thoroughly interested in and enthusiastic about his choice of work. He is impressionable, psychic, and emotional. His best quality is sympathy. His worst quality is worry. He has high ideals, and loves harmony. And because he is so sensitive to discords, and to the thoughts of others, he is inclined to magnify the importance of slight adversity, or imagine adversity that never comes to pass. He is at his best when working in the spirit of universal brotherhood. And to work thus effectively, he must early cultivate the faculty of finishing everything he starts, otherwise there will be restrictions cropping up that will cause him to drop his work before completion. And, being deeply religious, he should realize that he is responsible only insofar as he has ability, and that he should trust deity with the other details. Thoughts ruled by this sign belong to the belief series. Sun. The sun person rarely works for others to advantage, unless he is given full charge of his department. He is in his natural sphere of endeavor when he has received a political appointment. He is always at his best when at the head of something. His best quality is rulership. His worst quality is dictativeness. He needs early to learn that undue assumption of superiority really weakens his authority, and that consideration of the opinions of others and sympathy with their views will tend toward getting better service. The thoughts ruled by this planet are called the power thoughts. Moon. The moon person has much curiosity and is subject to ever-changing moods. He loves notoriety and is at his best when he is either before the public or coming constantly in touch with masses of people. His best quality is adaptability. His worst quality is inconstancy. He should early learn that if he is to achieve fame, or to be favorably known by the public, that he must cultivate the power to persist in some one endeavor to the point of exceptional ability. The thoughts ruled by this planet are called the domestic thoughts. Mercury. The Mercury person is an excellent agent. He is at his best where he can attain his ends by writing, talking, or travel. His best quality is expression. His worst quality is restlessness. Clerical work of all kinds appeals to him, as does accountancy. He is decidedly clever and learns a new task with great facility. He should learn, however, from the fable of the tortoise and the hare, that the race is not always to the swift. Also that the highest form of expression of his mentality can only be attained through protracted concentration. The thoughts ruled by this planet are called the intellectual thoughts. Venus. The Venus person needs social expression to be at his best. He is fastidious and loves grace, music, and the artistic. He is unfitted for a life of solitude. Companionship is essential. His best quality is affection. His worst quality is pliancy. He is entirely too desirous of pleasing others and in finding the line of least resistance. He is not fitted for hard or heavy work, but requires employment where charm of manner becomes an asset. He should early realize that he more often truly pleases when he asserts strength of character. The thoughts ruled by this planet are called the social thoughts. Mars. The Mars person must have an outlet for his abundant energy either in constructive or destructive work. He becomes a good manufacturer, surgeon, or mechanic. His best quality is initiative. His worst quality is harshness. He should early realize that there is greater satisfaction in building up than in tearing down, and that undue severity and antagonism hinder constructive enterprise. There is more opportunity for initiative in fighting disease, ignorance, and poverty than in combating any human foe. Thoughts ruled by this planet are called the aggressive thoughts. Jupiter. The Jupiter person gravitates to the professions, and also has ability to sell on account of his jovial personality. Menial employment is beneath his dignity, and he chafes under much restraint. He does well, however, at merchandising. His best quality is benevolence. His worst quality is conceit. He always has a good opinion of himself. And he should early realize that deity permitted others than himself also to have correct opinions, and that true charity demands that he give them due consideration. The thoughts ruled by this planet are called the religious thoughts. Saturn. The Saturn person loves efficiency, economy, and organization. His best field is that of businessman. He is shrewd and can buy to advantage, but in selling does better to employ another. His best quality is system. His worst quality is selfishness. He will abandon trickery when he realizes that honesty is the best policy. He has a horror of waste and can wait patiently for his plans to mature. The thoughts ruled by this planet are called the safety thoughts. Uranus. The Uranus person is at his best when swaying the multitude with his magnetic oratory, or when engaged in some unusual pursuit. He is unconventional, abrupt, and tends to take extreme views. His best quality is originality. His worst quality is eccentricity. He is always enthusiastic about reformation of some kind. And he early should learn that conventional action and moderate views in most things will enable him the better to impress others with the sanity of the essential reform. One step at a time should be his motto. The thoughts ruled by this planet are called the individualistic thoughts. Neptune. The Neptune person has a lively imagination and possesses the power to get others interested in his projects. He is a good promoter and has decided dramatic talents, but dislikes any kind of hard work. He is not given to system and dislikes discipline. His best quality is idealism. His worst quality is vagueness. He dislikes the mental labor of critical analysis of his ideas, preferring to believe what he wishes to be true. He should early learn that the only valuable ideals are those which can be made practical. The thoughts ruled by this planet are called the utopian thoughts. Pluto. The Pluto person, consciously or unconsciously, easily tunes in on the thoughts and energies being broadcast from the inner planes. This opens to him unusual sources of information and power. He is active, energetic and resourceful, and tends to unite with others to accomplish a common purpose. His best quality is spirituality. His worst quality is inversion. He is never milk and water in what he does, and if occasion demands, does not hesitate to resort to violence. When the destructive side is dominant, all his resourcefulness and energy are turned against society. He then becomes the gangster and racketeer, who unites with others of his type, to spread subtle lies and prey upon humanity. The best and worst side of this planet are more vividly in contrast than those of any other. The thoughts ruled by it are called the universal welfare thoughts. 112 degrees should be allowed. See Table of Aspects and Their Orbs, in B of L Lesson number 87. 2c Personal Description Given by Signs, in B of L Lessons 89. 3 According to horoscopes of the U.S. Presidents, Mercury has the most astrodynes.